Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 27th day of November, Sunday, 2022. And tonight... Well, 1 week from tonight, December 4th, at this time, we're going to be having the Right to Life, that's the Right to Life annual Christmas concert. And that's going to be held at the Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, that's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio. Folks, this is a very important event for us because this is one of our major fundraisers to help us continue to save babies. In concert is going to be the man with a golden harmonica, none other than A.J. Theodore, and the extraordinaire, if you will, and guitarist Jeff Heise, along with the Chester Christian Center Music Ministry. That's Pastor Steve Sawchuk and his gang, and also the Christmas Carolers. So that's going to be held next Sunday, starting at 7 p.m. It's the Right to Life Christmas Concert at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road, and that's in Chesterland, Ohio. Tonight we're going to do, this message is a little bit different than most of the message, because basically... it would be a scenario of if our enemies, listening to our enemies speaking one to another, and then at points in here, then we come in and we bring our commentary into it. But for the most part, this is this message tonight would be a message, apart from the actual scripture itself, from that you might hear from our enemies. And the title is this: our goal is to destroy and eliminate you. Can we count on your continued support? Now that might sound strange, but it's really not, because this is what's happened through ignorance and apathy. Those that were supposed to free Americans have been supporting the opposition for a long time, helping them to destroy us. Doing exactly what they've been told to do. And as we go through this message, we'll take a look at how that's been done. Well, there is an ongoing, unspoken request by the enemies of God, the church, family, country, and freedom. The request is that we, the people of the United States of America, remain lethargic, inactive, and uninvolved concerning our destruction and ultimate elimination. We, those of us that you call the woke elite, let you know what we are going to do to you and your family before we do it. Remember when Nikita Khrushchev, during a press conference around 1960, he took off his shoe and he beat the podium. And he said that we will defeat you from within without ever firing a shot. We will indoctrinate your youth. We will give you dose after dose after dose of socialism until one day you will awaken to realize that you have become communist. Well, that's exactly what he did. Nikita Khrushchev said, that's exactly what he did. For 50 years, this radio ministry has been warning people, telling you, if you love your children, get them out of the public schools. They're nothing but, you know, great centers for Marxist indoctrination. And that's what they are. They're nothing but cultural Marxist indoctrination centers. And so for 50 years, and I can't tell you how many women have come to me over the years and have said, boy, I wish I would have listened to you. I wish I would have listened when I heard you say that, because we sent our children to the public school and then we sent them to the secular colleges and they took all away their faith. Their faith is gone. Everything we taught them, all the church, they now believe is simply nonsense. And they've turned against us. We're no longer their parents. We're virtually their enemies. And so, they go on to say, and you might hear them say this, well, we were a bit concerned that you might heed the warnings of some of those on the right. They were sounding the alarm, telling you that, well, we were indoctrinating your children into cultural Marxism. They were telling you to call your congressmen and senators, urging them to put a stop to it. They even told you that you should run for the school board and kick us out. Luckily for us, you couldn't be bothered calling your congressmen and getting involved with your child's education. After all, you had the American dream to live. We knew that we were winning when Madeline Murray O'Hare had your God expelled from the public education system. We feared, though, that there might be an uprising among the clergy. But to our relief, with a few exceptions, the clergy turn out to be paper tigers with only a pathetic whimper of protest. It was then that we realized that so few of the clergy were for real. They feared government and the loss of their tax-exempt status more than they feared God. They, with a few exceptions again, would rather tuck tail and run instead of risking the loss of their precious 501c3. We, however, were still concerned with that small percentage of clergy that were as dedicated to Christ as we were to Karl Marx. Their boldness and their courage were proof of their non-compromised faith. How well they understood and agreed with the message preached by the founder of Oberlin College in 1873, Charles Finney, in a sermon titled The Decay of Conscience. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the people press and the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, and boy does he, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundation of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to read verses 14 through 19. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God and of the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is he glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Well, we must never, not ever be afraid to be persecuted for the Lord's sake. Folks, I remember being active in the pro-life movement for 49 years from the very start. I've been active. And for 45 of those years, I was weekly on the streets in front of these bloody abortion mills, preaching repentance and preaching heaven sweet and hell hot. And because of that, many times I was arrested because I had all kinds of false charges brought against me time and time again. But we always won. I went to court. We always beat them. Beat them in court every single time. But it took a lot. They even tried to RICO me 3 times. They used the racketeering laws against me, but they were tossed out of court because in order to have a statute for RICO, I have to show that I'm profiting somehow off of their loss. And the fact I was losing money off of their loss. Their loss was we were saving babies. We were saving babies, so they were losing there. But it was costing us money all the time to do that. And so here, what really bothered me is one day I heard a prissy preacher say, as long as abortion is legal, you'll never see me out in front of one of those abortion mills. As long as it's legal, I'll obey the government. Well, I told that prissy preacher, look, I don't expect to ever see you do anything that costs you anything, anything that it takes any guts and any courage. And I'll tell you what. I remember I was on the board of Ohio Right to Life for 21 years. And there came a time when we had some people that were on the board and they got themselves a little uppity. And they said, well, you know, we don't want to give the press any ammunition against us, so we should make it a part of our bylaws that anyone that's been arrested, that they've been arrested and protesting abortion, should not be able to sit on the board. They actually brought that up. Now, folks, that made this man very unhappy. And I stood up and I said, no, I've got a different amendment. I think what we need to do is make it mandatory that you've had to have been arrested at least once out there standing and saving babies, doing what you can, and obeying God and not a corrupt government to be eligible to be on this board. Now, who's got a problem with that? Well, it seemed like they were startled. This man, he means this. He's not one of us. And they said, why don't we just forget the whole thing, right? Well, folks, I tell you, I'm ashamed of prissy preachers. And I'm ashamed of people that call themselves Christians that fear government more than they fear God, who would rather obey very corrupt laws than obey God's word, the Bible. I mean, I'm really ashamed of them. Here now, as he goes on and he's talking here and he says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or a busybody in other man's affairs. The Lord makes it very, very clear that in Hebrews chapter 12, in fact, verse 7, that he has a refining, if you will, judgment, a very, very, very strict and very painful for judgment for professing Christians that bring dishonor to his name. And so here I suggest that if you're a professing Christian, I remember there were some years ago, especially one particular little comedian. He was a short, blonde-haired fella, and he all of a sudden he had a so-called born-again experience. He was on all the TV talk shows and talking about how he received Christ as his Savior. This was a big thing. But then the next thing you know, he's back living with drugs and sodomites, and he just, went all the way back the other way. He slid back after being out there professing that he was this Christian, and boom, very quickly, he was taken out. He was, you see, what God will do, before God will allow you to dishonor him and also lose whatever treasures you have put up in heaven as a Christian, he'll take you home early. And that's exactly what he did with this guy. There was another situation where there was an outspoken homosexual who said he had gotten saved and come out of the sodomite lifestyle and would go out. He would speak against sodomy and he kept making that profession of faith. Well, then the next thing you know, he was back living as a sodomite. The very same thing happened to him. And so here now, he goes on and he says, for the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. Well, not only does judgment begin in the house of God, it begins in that pulpit right there with that pastor. He goes on to say, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them who obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, folks, that should send chills up and down the spines of some people. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Well, we go on back to if the enemy was telling his story. They said, we know that most of us, most of what is called the church today, was not willing to be inconvenienced for the name of Christ, much less suffer reproach for him. We knew that if we were ever to make our fortune by killing children in the womb, we would need a word salad to make the murder of innocent babies palatable to the masses. We came up with the language of illusion and delusion and confusion. At first, we weren't sure if we could get the mainstream media to go with it. But then we were amazed. We were absolutely amazed to find out just how eager they were to promote the killing of innocent children. And promote it. Get this as a woman's constitutional right. I want to go over to Psalm chapter 9. And in Psalm chapter 9, we read verses 16 and 17. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. All nations that forget God. Well, the violent wicked will end in violence. The liars will become victims of deceit and lies of others. Apathy and ignorance has caused America to forget her God. I want to go now to Proverbs chapter 1. And this passage really describes cultural Marxism, which they call progressive socialism today. It's what the Democratic Communist Party in America has. It's their platform. But in Proverbs chapter 1, we read, starting in verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are they the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Well, Karl Marx and Lenin would instruct the proletariat. The proletariat was referred to as the common people, and they would tell them that, well, it's morally acceptable to kill the bourgeoisie and take their property, because if they're wealthy and they have property, they made it off the backs of the proletariat. It's kind of like when Barack Obama said, if you have a company or you have a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else built it for you. And I remember all of a sudden signs going up in front of these companies all over the place. We built this. The workers here built this. Okay. Barack Obama. And, you know, I remember Barack Obama saying that we need to transfer the wealth from those that have earned it. That's right. He said we need to transfer the wealth from those that have earned it to those that deserve it. Well, folks, God's Word, the Bible, tells you very clearly that it's those that have earned it are the ones that discern it. He says here in Proverbs 1, verse 15 or 14, cast in thy lot among us, and let us all have one purse. That is the collective. That is progressive socialism. That is communism. He goes on to say, Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates of the city, uttereth her words, saying, How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you have refused. This is what we call the world out there today. This is Hollywood. This is the mainstream media. This is the entire Democratic Party out there today. Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all of my counsel and would have none of my reproof. Also I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge. They hated knowledge. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. And then in Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 33 through 35. I've got to wet my lips. This is the third time today I preached. Why trimmest? Now we hear God compares Judah, the two southern tribes, he compares Judah here to a whorish woman who tries to hide her sin. She's guilty of adultery, of seduction, of the shedding of innocent blood. And she'll be rejected by her lovers, and she will end up impoverished. Why trimmest thou the way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. It's referring to her trying to be seductive. Also, in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of poor innocents. That couldn't describe abortion anymore than those women that take their children and have them killed. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all of these. Well, he's telling them he didn't have to look upon their hearts. By their own mouth, by their own confession, they condemn themselves. Yet thou sayest, because I'm innocent. Well, they say, you know, if it was wrong, why is it legal? It can't be so wrong if it's legal, if it's allowed. It's not murder if it's legal. Well, God has ruled that abortion is murder. God has ruled that. And all of these people that say it likewise will stand before God. And remember this, God has said all liars will have their place in the lake of fire. Because I'm innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Not hardly. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. I want to turn now, well, going back to what the enemy might say if they were talking one to another. Everything was going good for us. We were making money hand over fist. Sin is very profitable. Adultery, fornication, pedophilia. Women kept getting pregnant and we kept getting rich. We even had breeders, women that would carry their babies to term and then sell them to us for their body parts. However, we were not without opposition. Unlike the vast majority of so-called Christians, there was this relatively small, in the beginning, Christian zealots. They came from all walks of life. They were pastors and doctors and lawyers and congressmen and senators, etc. They were more willing to go to jail to save a baby's life than we were to get rich by taking the baby's life. We threw everything that we had against them, but they never quit fighting for the lives of these babies that they had never even seen or known. We had the mainstream media flood the airwaves with lies that they had concocted to turn the dumbed-down population against the pro-life activists. Through it all, these for real Christians, and these were the real, genuine thing, the real Christians, they never quit. It took 49 years, but finally, Roe v. Wade was overturned. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. In Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want to read verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Well, Moses here in this particular passage of Scripture was challenging Israel to choose to obey God and therefore to continue to experience his blessings. See, God doesn't, he doesn't force his will on us. He gives us the choice, freedom, free choice. But he's telling you without any stuttering at all that obedience, and this applies not just to the present, this present life, but also in eternity. Obedience to God will bring you everlasting life. Disobedience to God can bring you everlasting death. I want to now go over to Proverbs chapter 24. In the Proverbs chapter 24, I want to, you folks out there, you say, it's kind of taking him a long time. Well, that's right. I'm still only really have the full use of one arm. And so I have to turn the pages and everything with one hand, and that's why. But hopefully that will be rectified soon here. But anyhow, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 10, 11, and 12. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He that keepeth the soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Well, the enemy knows that the vast majority of professing Christians, well, they'll cut and run rather than stand because they're professing. They have a profession of faith. This is why the Lord Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many will come, but few will enter. Because the vast majority out there today are comfort zone Christians. And or what we call, I call Christian light, if you will. They have a profession of faith, but they're the ones that the Lord's referring to. On that day when you say, Lord, Lord, in thy name did I not cast out devils? Did I not heal raise the dead, and the Lord will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You're lying. And so, here the righteous are as bold. We see the righteous are as bold as lions. The fearful and the unbelieving can't get away with lying to God. Little courage is the result of little faith. Now, if you won't stand and fight when it counts, God will, well, he'll render to you your, according to your work. And that's what he says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain. I remember when I was a kid, right after World War II, and after World War II, I had a job doing odd jobs around houses that my uncle and dad built. And back in those days, believe it or not, at 10 years old, I was being paid 25 cents an hour. And man, I thought I was going to get rich. 25 cents at that time went a lot farther. In fact, I remember being able to take my 25 cents to go and buy a hot dog and a can of pop and a hot dog for that one quarter back in those days. And so here, after the war, there were a number of German refugees that came over from Germany, and they were working as laborers. And, well, some actually did office work, too. And I remember asking him, after watching the films of the Holocaust, I asked him, why did you let them do that? Why did you let Hitler? Why didn't you stop him? Now, even as a 10-year-old kid, I understood that when they would look away, when they would break eye contact with me and look away, when they answered me, and they would always say, we didn't know. We didn't know what was happening there. Well, they probably didn't know everything that was going on, but the very fact that when they broke eye contact before they would answer me tells me that they knew more than they were saying. And here, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn to death and those that are ready to be slain. Do you know how many people, what percentage do you think of the church, what percentage actually gets involved in trying to stop the killing of children? Just let me ask you this. If the pastors in this country had had the courage, first of all, if they had had courage, when Madeline Murray O'Hare had God expelled from the public schools back in 1962, if those pastors had had courage, they would have marched on Washington, D.C., put that court that called itself supreme, but was only supreme in its rebellion against God and treason against the country. They would have put them on trial for treason. But the pastors failed. The pastors failed God. They failed God. I couldn't understand as a young man. I couldn't understand what's wrong. Why are they afraid? Why won't they stand and fight? And then, well, that trend started. By 1973, when that corrupt court declared itself to be God, declared God dead, and said, we will now make what God has made unlawful legal. If you purchase a license with mammon from Caesar, we will allow you to transgress God's dominion and destroy his very image, kill the babies. And the pastors should have rose up. They should have rose up in mass numbers. They should have marched on D.C. We did go. We took 100 pastors, and we went to that Senate down there. It was 100. But there should have been 100,000. Should have been 100,000. But they didn't have the courage. there was a total dearth of courage. You know, there was a time in the days of old when those prophets of God had courage. Moses called out Pharaoh. We saw that John the Baptist called out Herod. We saw Peter call out Simon the sorcerer. Also, Peter called out Ananias and Sapphira. We see the Lord Jesus, he was calling them all out. Not only did he call them out, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, but he overturned the tables twice in the temple of the money changers. But in those days, all you have to do is take a look and read Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of the faith. But the pastors there had courage. Today in America, if the pastors had the courage, let me tell you, the pastors in this country, they betrayed the Lord. I'm not saying they didn't do any good. If they didn't do at least what they did do, the country would be much worse off today. But they dishonored God with a lack of courage. They were much more afraid of losing their tax-exempt status than they were of disobeying their Lord. Virtually more afraid of the government. Now, I knew some of these pastors, and I remember one time as a young pastor myself encouraging them to stand and fight. How they had told me, if you continue preaching the way you're preaching, you're going to bring the government down on all of us. And I said, that's exactly what I want to do. I want to make you stand like men. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth the soul, doth he not know it? And shall he not render to every man according to his works? Folks, if you can't and you won't stand and fight when it counts, God will render to you according to your works. And then you have those that tell me, well, even though you don't agree with the government, you still have to give honor and respect to the office, even if they're wicked. That's a lie from the pit of hell. In fact, right here it tells you this. These things also belong to the wise. It's not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous. And how do you say to the wicked that thou art righteous? You obey their wicked statutes. You vote for someone that's wicked. That's how you say that you're righteous. Him shall the people curse, and nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss the lips that giveth the right answer. I can tell you, I'm very, very ashamed of these prissy preachers. Very, very ashamed. The ones that won't stand and fight. And I'm also ashamed of the people who say, look, I want to go to a church where the pastor doesn't ask me to go out and do things. I don't want to be an activist. I don't want to go out and stand against abortion. I want to stay comfortable. That's why I put my money in that offering plate, and I expect him to make sure that I'm comfortable coming and going. You're just as guilty as the hireling that's in the pulpit. Now, it's no wonder that these same, now again, we're going back to a conversation you might hear with our enemies. It's no wonder that these same for real Christians that led the battle for life are the same ones, the same for real Christians that are calling out the wicked Antichrist deep state enemies of God, country, freedom, and life. What about that? Again, just like Moses called out Pharaoh and John the Baptist called out Herod. What if the pastors today, what if the pastors had the courage to get up there and boldly call out Mr. Biden, Mr. Joe Biden, Joe Biden, abortion is murder, Joe. Pedophilia, Joe, pedophilia is a horrible crime. What you're doing, Joe Biden, sodomy, Joe Biden, the sodomy you promote, God says an abomination. You're a sinner, Joe Biden, and you need to repent or you're going to burn in hell. What if the pastors, what if people nationally known, there's a couple of us nationally known, only a couple of us that are doing this. But what if people like Franklin Graham, oh, I appreciate what Franklin Graham does as far as the ministry he has there, feeding the hungry and that. I really appreciate it. But what if, with his notoriety, with his nationally known, what if he was to stand up and Charles Stanley and some of the others, what if they had the courage? What if they had the courage to stand up and boldly do what those prophets in the Bible, those preachers that went before him did? What if in this country, when they passed Roe v. Wade, the pastors had had the courage across the country to say, enough is this. And in front of every bloody abortion mill, you would have 20, 30, 40 pastors standing out there, knowing that each one of them represents a large amount of people. Let me tell you, the politicians could count. And if that had happened, had they had the courage, had they had the courage to do that, that would have changed in one day. That would have changed in one day. That court in D.C., they could have seen a gallows waiting for them for their treason against God. That would have changed in one day had the pastors had the courage. Remember, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. James 1. I want to go to the book of James and read. Verses 22 through 25. But be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding the natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God expects us, folks, listen, remember how it works. From Genesis to Revelation, it's pretty clear. God has expectations of us. He's made it clear. He has expectations of us. And we have obligations to him. That's the way it works. I've heard some of these prosperity preachers saying how you can take God's word and you can force God to give you material things. You can force God to give you material things by using his word against him. That's what Kenneth Copeland, one of his favorite sayings. You can make him deliver. You can make him deliver. Well, folks, no, you can't make God deliver. So God expects us to not only know his word, but to do his word. This is freedom and obedience, and there's bondage and disobedience. He says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Here, you can actually measure the effectiveness of your knowledge and study of God's Word, the Bible, by matching, by measuring the amount of being a doer of the Word. Remember what he says? He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. And then I want to take you over to Romans chapter 12. But here, you might hear again them saying, the opposition saying, well, however, we were not without opposition. Unlike the vast majority of those so-called Christians, there was again that relatively small, in the beginning, Christian zealots. They came from all walks of life. They were pastors, they were doctors, they were lawyers, they were congressmen, they were senators. Again, they were more willing to go to jail to save babies than we were to get rich by taking the baby's life. And folks, over the years out there, I've been arrested I don't know how many times, and I'll tell you what, I get ashamed of these prissy preachers. I get ashamed of them who boast about the fact that they've never had a run-in with the law for disobeying the statutes, the wicked, evil statutes. See, there was this fellow named Peter. You might read about him in the Bible. And he told the corrupt politicians and the corrupt judicial of his day that we will obey God and not man. We will obey God and not man. Apparently, somewhere along the line, these prissy preachers didn't get the memo. They missed it. And I can tell you, I've been arrested many times for preaching out in front of these bloody abortion mills for saving babies. And many, many times have I gone to court. Well, we've had from the opposition, from the very, very corrupt, I've had many attempts on my life. They tried to kill me. They tried to run me over. They shot at me several times. Tried to poison me once. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. Another put a gun to the back of my head. But God had provided a security guard that I had led to the Lord just 2 weeks prior to that. And he had watched this on the camera, and he snuck around and got behind the guy with a gun and got the drop on him. But let me tell you something. The Bible says, count it all joy to be found worthy to be persecuted for the Lord's sake. Boy, I can tell you, these prissy preachers, they're, I don't think you catch them doing, they're hirelings if they don't have the courage to stand out and obey God rather than corrupt judicial, corrupt laws. We must never, not ever allow ourselves to be conformed to this world and accept the so-called woke movement today. You've got critical race theory, which is not a theory. It's an abomination. It's an illusion. It's a fantasy. It's a lie. You've got political correctness, which is neither political nor correct. It's sin. It's the promote of God's word. The Bible calls it transgression of God's laws. You've got election fraud. And boy, I'm going to tell you, folks, you have this last midterm election, the vast majority of you probably are not even anywhere near privy to just how much election fraud there was. But we're going to be talking about that in the near future, just to show you how sophisticated this election fraud was. I want to remind you that about 3 weeks prior to the election, we quoted Bill Gates when Bill Gates came out with a smirk, and he said there will be no red wave. He said it's gonna be a draw. It'll be and probably follow with a civil war, which is probably coming. But what Bill Gates was telling you, he was telling you right then that the fix is in. It's fixed. We got it. It's a sure thing. And he was exactly right. The fix was in. And then even Nancy Pelosi came out and she said, it's not going to be a red wave. We're going to keep the Senate and probably the House, which he was wrong about the House. But she understood the fix was in. And we're going to be talking more about that coming during the week. But here, this so-called transgender, this transhuman, these snowflakes, these gender correction surgeries, these knuckleheads that are doing scheduled crying now, where they're scheduling times today during the work time and to cry. They go into a room and they cry. This is lunacy. To ever give any legitimacy to LGBTQ, to ever accept what they call minor attraction, or so-called same-sex marriages, or open marriages, or hot wives, or trans species, etc. And I just want to go and finish over here in Romans very quickly, because we're out of time. Chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You renew your mind through the teachings of God's Word, the Bible. You totally avoid all of the things that we just mentioned here, the things of this world. We're out of time for tonight. And as we say, as we close every radio program, there's nothing more accurate than the Word of God. God's Word, the accurate, is the most accurate and is the most authoritative. It's the one thing in all of existence that will never pass away. God himself has said that. The heavens and earth will pass. God has said that, but his word will stand forever. And he tells you this, that you're going to die, and then the judgment. And you're going to either die saved, if you've called upon the name of the Lord, if you've prayed to the Father and asked for forgiveness of your sin, and asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, all of your life, and meant it, or you're going to die in your sin, and things are going to go south for a very long time for you. Believe me, you don't want the latter. So heed the words of the Lord Jesus said, pray to the Father, do it tonight, don't run out of tomorrow's tonight, ask for forgiveness of your sins, acknowledge the fact that Christ died in your place upon that cross. He took your sins upon him. If you'll call upon his name and you'll place him first, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And folks, it doesn't get any better than that. And so we are out of time for tonight. So as we say every night at this time, good night, God bless, and always, always, and I do mean always, keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Watching your hard-earned dollars fly out the window on healthcare costs is frustrating. Well, here's something that can really help, and it's worth taking a minute to look into. MediShare 65 Plus. MediShare is a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills, and it really is a community too. People encourage and pray for each other. Well, MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. It's a great way to fight inflation too. You can lock in one low monthly price for up to 10 years. And it's easy. You can use any Medicare approved doctor or get 24/7 telehealth access from the comfort of your home. Very worth looking into during Medicare open enrollment, which ends December 7th. If you join right now, your second month share will be free. So don't miss this chance. Call 833-SHARE-24. That's 833-SHARE-24. 833-SHARE-24. 24.